we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And happy Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, and we would love for you to come and visit us if you have the opportunity. If you're in the central Brevard County area, if you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come. As I have people from time to time that say, I'm going to get over there. And I say, we still have seats available. And that will always be the case, because if we ever get to the place where we don't have seats available, we will make more seats available. And so we'd love to have you come and visit with us. We are going to be having a special sermon that I'm going to be doing this Sunday at 10:30. Would love to have you come and be a part of that. Our chili cook-off is after the morning service, and we do not have a service this coming Sunday night because it is our fifth Sunday celebration. So we are going to be having a potluck dinner, and there's going to be lots of chili. It is a blind taste test, and so I have finished, I think, first, second, and third, or maybe I finished first and 2 seconds. I don't remember what it is, and the crazy thing is I've only made chili 3 times in my life now, so there are normally anywhere from 5 to 10 different chilies, and so if you'd like to come and be a part of that and cast your vote. And it has been known to have some people that have stacked the ballot box in the past, having a whole bunch of their family members come in and say, oh man, this just tastes like Aunt So-and-so's chili, or this tastes just like Mom's chili and whatsoever. So it's all fun. Nothing's too serious about it. But we have a prize that we give away to the best chili. And the good news is the weather has been cooling off, and it is getting to be that time of year where chili is on the menu. And so we'd love to have you come and be a part of that. I want to remind you about the fall fundraiser here at WMIE, 632-1000, area code 321-632-1000. If this radio station is a blessing to you, give them a call and let them know that you are going to be faithful supporters of the radio program or of the radio station over the next 6 months, and they will be greatly appreciative of that. All we ask is if the Refresh radio program is a blessing to you, that you would let them know, hey, I'm a listener of the Refresh radio program. That is one of the only ways that we receive feedback. And so I just want to put that out there. And if you would do us that kindness, that would be greatly, greatly appreciated. So we were in Romans chapter 12, and we have been talking on yesterday's program, because I was laying the groundwork and I didn't get to the real subject matter of our study here, and that is on the fruit of the Spirit, which is long-suffering. No one likes to suffer, and no one likes to suffer long. No one likes to have to be patient, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. And as I described on the radio program, there's 4 aspects to that. There is the patience aspect. There is the enduring aspect. There is the continually manifesting those 2 things. And then there is the attitude with which you do it, which is to be done cheerfully. So if you've got all 4 of those mastered, you are a better person than I am. And I believe that we should all be striving to manifest those things. And so let me go back and catch you up from where we were yesterday. There's basically about five verses that we are looking at in Romans chapter 12. And it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Now, I want to read those same verses 10, well, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. From the Amplified Bible, if I can, today. And it says there, Romans chapter 12, verse number 9, let your love be sincere, a real thing. Hate what is evil. Loathe all ungodliness. Turn in horror from wickedness, but hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice and exult in hope. Be steadfast and patient in suffering and tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people, sharing in the necessities of the saints. Pursue the practice of hospitality. So that's where we're going to end the reading. And so I finished yesterday with verse number 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And I just wanted to make mention of what it says there in the Amplified. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit. Is that an apt description for all of us? We don't want to be like the church in Revelation where it says, you have lost your first love. We don't want to be like that apathetic or complacent person who just really doesn't give a rip. God wants us. And I like fervent. I do like that. That to me means red hot. But I also like what it says in the Amplified, be aglow and burning with the Spirit. See, I'm Pentecostal. I'll never forget one time that I had a physical therapist, and she had been around a branch of Pentecostalism when she lived in New York, and so I just talked to her. I built relationship with her. I wanted to be kind to her because she was doing physical therapy on me, and I didn't want her to make me cry. And so finally, at the end of that, she said, "Are you sure you're Pentecostal?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am. I'm thoroughly Pentecostal." And she said, "But you seem so real." And folks, I remember a man telling me one time, he said, you never have to advertise a fire. There's always something that gives an indication that there's something going on, that like Moses who saw the burning bush, he turned aside to see why the bush was not being consumed. You and I, we need to be fervent to the point that we are glowing in the spirit, if you will, that there is something about our countenance, not to the extent of what it was said of Moses, that his countenance was changed so much that they were saying, what in the world is going on here? The Bible also says that that had a diminishing effect. The only way that we can keep ourselves from having a diminished glow is to stay continually in the presence of the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to produce in us the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be fervent. It goes on and says, serving the Lord. Never forget who you're serving. Never forget who you're serving. Keep the main thing, as Peter Lord has said. And that is, you are serving the Lord. We have a saying that we use every once in a while, and I don't know where the saying originated, but it said, that's good enough for government work. That's good enough for government work. Well, good enough does not cut it when it comes to God. We need to be serving him with excellence. We need to be serving him with diligence. Let's move on to verse number 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. If you have a confident expectation, which is the word, is what hope means. It's not our modern version of wishful thinking. You are rejoicing in that confident expectation. That's why whenever you go to I'm gonna say this very carefully. Whenever you go to a Christian wedding, you should see people who are overcome with joy because of the confident expectation of what God is going to weave together in that new life, that there is confident expectation that this is a threefold cord that is wound together, where there's husband and there is wife and there is God. You see, my confident expectation is not that I'm going to be able to do anything. I can mess things up, but I cannot be the source of the good things. Not for me, not for my wife. My wife cannot be the source of good things. We can mess things up, but our hope, our confidence, our expectation is that the God who leads our path leads us and guides us and orders our steps. I have every confident expectation in him that he is going to work all things together for our good because we love him and are called according to his purpose. Most people, when they quote that verse, they do not quote the whole thing. For God works all things together for our good. That's the first part of the verse, but you miss the qualifier. And that is that you are called, that he works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so with that expectation, I can rejoice. I'm not going to waste my present lamenting some negative things, some bad things, some painful things, or tragic events that have happened in my past. I'm going to rejoice that whatever has happened to me in the past, first of all, it's in the past. Second, that God is going to work all things together for the good. You see, I've been fired from jobs. I've experienced financial setbacks. I've experienced health setbacks. I've had a number of things that did not work out the way that I had planned, but I always knew that God was in control. So rejoice with confident expectation in the God that you serve. And then it says this, patient in tribulation. Patient in tribulation. So this particular word, it's similar to what we have been talking about, patience and endurance and continuance and also doing it cheerfully. But this particular verse, and it's talking about tribulation here. It's talking about difficult times. It's talking about trials. And Jesus said, in this world, you shall have tribulation. This is not tribulation that is attributed to the wrath of God. This is tribulation that comes from living in a fallen world and living in enemy territory, living in a world where Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's the world you live in. You live in a world with fallen people who think that the only way that they can get ahead is to tear others down. There, you live in a fallen world where people lie rather than tell the truth, that they are more concerned about themselves than they are with others. And so you've got to realize that you live in a fallen world. How do you deal with the pain and the suffering and the tribulation that comes from a born-again believer with God living inside of them? How do you deal with all of the tribulation? And Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that you do it with patience. This word means this: to stay under, to remain, to persevere, and to endure patiently. Okay? And so what happens a lot of times, I'm going to talk about that first aspect of the meaning there, where it talks about stay under. What happens with a lot of people is that the first time difficulty arises, they want to abandon ship. They want to run. And I can tell you that I was in a situation one time where everything in my being wanted to run. It wasn't a marital situation. It was a very painful process that we were going through, and everything said, get out of here, run. It wasn't fun. It was very painful. There was only one reason why we didn't, and that was because God said, stay. You see, I am a person who was created with a free will, and my free will has signed a contract with God that said, thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. And so when God says to stay, you stay. You know, there was another time where God told me that it was time for a change. And I argued with God. By the way, I don't win arguments with God. I don't. And someone said at a men's conference earlier this year that I was attending that if you ever win an argument with God, you've lost. And if you ever lose the argument with God, you win. And so the staying under is not staying under a system of abuse, okay? I want you to understand that. That's not what we are talking about. You do not stay in. If you are in an abusive situation, you are not called to stay under that. You are staying under the will and the plan of God for your life. The vision that God gives you should be a restraining factor in your life. there are going to be things, sometimes they will even be good things that come along, but they don't fit in with the vision that God has for you. That vision that he has, that plan that he has, the purpose that he created you, it should be a restraining, and the more restraint there is, the more power there is. You can take 1 million gallons of water and spread it out over such a wide area that it does not have much power other than just to saturate the soil. But you can also take 1 million gallons of water, put it in a tower or in some sort of elevated tank, and then you put it in just a very small outlet, and it will have so much pressure that it'll take your finger off. That's not how I lost mine, but it can. A guy told me one time that he was using a pressure washer. He said, don't test this on your hand. He said, because it'll take your finger right off. He said, it's got a lot of pressure. And so you and I, we need to stay under that the will of God. We need to remain. We are, listen, I have this mindset that I am a servant of the living God. And he has commanded me to a post, an assignment as a soldier in his army. And my job is to make the most out of the opportunity that he has made for us at Merit Assembly of God, and to stand guard, occupy till he comes, and do it with diligence. If you want darkness in your life, just complete and total darkness, abandon the position that God has assigned to you, and you will find that the grass is not greener on the other side. A speaker one time, he said, I'm from Arkansas. He said, what we have discovered in Arkansas is that the grass is always greener right over the septic tank. If you don't know what a septic tank is, you don't really want to know. So, if you want light and revelation, you find yourself right in the center of God's will. If you want darkness that will be more pervasive in your life than you've ever experienced, then you give up on the patient endurance that God wants you to have, abandon the assignment, the task, the position, the purpose, the relationship that he has. You just abandon all of that, and you will find that you won't have the relief you thought. You will just have misery. Darkness is a miserable experience. Well, while I was in Oklahoma, I had a room that I was sleeping in, but it was a pretty dark room. And a different time zone. And my watch doesn't have illumination, and I had my phone turned off while it was charging. And so there wasn't any way for me to know what time it was. So I could be waking up and it would be 1 o'clock in the morning, and I just didn't know. And it's like, I don't know if it's time to get up or if it's time to go to bed. You want to remain under pressure and persevere and to endure that patiently. Let me give you one more thing. It says here, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. You and I, we need to make sure that we are doing that, that we are not, that we're not just apathetic or lazy in prayer. This particular word means to be earnest in prayer, to persevere and attend as a servant. Prayer. Pray faithfully. Pray as a servant. And so I told you that I was on a plane recently, and there was a medical emergency that came up during that time. And let me just touch on 13, and then I'll finish with this. It's just distributing to the needs of the saints and given to hospitality. you and I are supposed to be ministering. We're supposed to be welcoming. And I pray that the hospitality team at church is not just a person that wears a badge, but it's every person that goes there, that you are welcoming people no matter what type of clothes they're wearing, no matter what they look like, and that you are there to welcome them into the body of Christ, because the body of Christ needs them and they need the body of Christ. The help that we received during the hurricane came from Spartanburg, South Carolina. While I was traveling back, I saw on the news that Spartanburg, South Carolina had been hit by a number of tornadoes. And one of the first phone calls I made when I got back was to a Baptist brother in Spartanburg, South Carolina, to say, how are you doing? How are your churches doing? Is there anything you need from us that we can help you? Because y'all were of great help to us. And so make sure that you are a very helpful person when it comes to meeting legitimate needs. Okay, let me go back to verse number 12, and that is continuing steadfastly in prayer. There was a medical emergency on the plane, and they called for medical personnel. They called for doctors, and fortunately, there were people on board. They called them back. They had the defibrillator that they got. I mean, everybody was given attention, and there were a number of reactions that I saw. There were the people who were attending to the need. Now, they didn't need everybody back there attending to the need. They needed the people who could address the need. But there were other people who gave no notice to what was going on at all. They were self-absorbed in their books. They were self-absorbed in their movies. And they just didn't pay attention. They didn't care. Not realizing that one day, all of us have an appointment with death, unless Jesus comes first, which is perfectly okay with me. There were other people who were concerned, and they were just watching. They were watching. But God said, look, you can't help take care of the medical need, but you can pray. And so I prayed, and I prayed fervently. And when God said, look, you're not done praying yet, I prayed some more. He said, he's not out of the woods yet. And so I prayed some more. Be steadfast in prayer. Be a person who you do not give up on prayer. You continually do it. You use prayer as a ministry that God has given you. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, you can always pray. And be the best prayer that you can be. I want to remind you one more time about our services this weekend, 10:30 in the morning. We'd love to have you come and join us. And don't forget the fall fundraiser. Make it a reality today where you call in and say, I want to support the Word of God going throughout Brevard County. 321-632-1000. We'll see you next week right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Sing to be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul.